Lakers lose to Seattle 27-24. High school football, Racine St. Catharines wins the Division VI high school championship, edging St. Croix Central 8-6 on a two-point conversion after a late touchdown last night. However, Racine Lutheran lost to Iola Scandinavia 43-14 in the Division IV championship game in the afternoon. Play-by-play for both games archived on our WGTD.org website under the Sports Web tab. And WGTD Sports Live on Facebook begins basketball tonight at 7. Bradford Lady Red Devils and the Lake Geneva Lady Badgers. You can watch that game live on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/WGTDFM. Milwaukee Brewer outfielder Christian Yelich and, National League MVP of the year. In the NBA, Bucks and Bulls off last night. The Bucks host the Bulls tonight. NHL, the Blackhawks host the LA Kings tonight. Now that forecast from the National Weather Service on this Friday, the 16th. Cloudy for the morning, partly sunny, windy and cold for the afternoon, a high of 39, winds up to 30 miles per hour. Right now, wind from the west at 9, 35 degrees in Racine, 34 in Kenosha. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 8:11, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
Support for the morning show comes from Carthage College, welcoming approximately 150 full-time transfer students each year. Eligible Gateway graduates can receive guaranteed admission to Carthage to complete their bachelor's degrees. Transfer to a more personalized education in 4 easy steps. More information about admissions and competitive scholarships for transfers available at carthage.edu/admissions/transfer. Support for WGTD also comes from Jack Andrea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, newly reimagined for 2018. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. More information at jackandrea.com. And we welcome you to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg.
Let's go, let's look at the show. We're riding in a wonderland of snow. Giddy up, it's grand, just holding your hand. We're riding along with a song. Cheeks are nice and rosy, comfy, cozy are we. We're snuggled close together like two birds of a feather would be. Let's take that road before us, sing a chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride. There's a party.
This refreshing treatment of Leroy Anderson's Sleigh Ride is part of a brand new album called Snow People, Winter Music by Jack and Jill. And those names, Jack and Jill, refer to Jack Grassel and Jill Jensen, two really talented musicians here in southeastern Wisconsin who have been married now for 20 years and making music together all the while. And I'm happy to have them back on the morning show today to talk about their careers and about this latest release, again called Snow People, Winter Music by Jack and Jill. Jill, you were saying that this retreatment of Sleigh Ride, I've never heard anybody do anything innovative with Sleigh Ride before, and you said that this was the basic idea, at least, was your husband's.
It sure was, yeah. He said he's always felt that it was such a romantic song. We both are huge fans of lyrics, and we think that they deserve the treatment that the writer may have intended. Now, we always hear, and we are guilty of having played Sleigh Ride like it's a race, like it's a gallop. Just hear those sleigh bells tinkling, tick, tick, tick. I'm sorry, but I've been on a sleigh ride, and it's not like that. It's not like that at all. And the horse is sweetly going through, plodding along, and you're just kind of lumbering and joggling, and it's just a gentle pace at night in the woods, and it's pretty and it's romantic and you're snuggling. So I think he did a wonderful, wonderful treatment of it.
It's really a breath of fresh air. It truly is.
I agree.
Jack, say something about some of what you did musically besides just the most basic thing of just slowing it down. You did more than that to create this effect.
Well, there are many ways to slow a song down. One is to slow down the chord movement, and you can do that by reducing the number of chords in the song. And at this point in the history of the world, I feel in a lot of songs there are too many chord changes. It goes back to the big band era and Charlie Parker in the 40s, where they tried to put 2-5 progressions in everywhere. So my first step in reharmonizing Sleigh Ride was remove all the chords and start from the ground up, and as if I was not familiar with the song. And I did it as a brand new song and put new chords in it and had fewer chords, and also do the Miles Davis concept where you have short solos, not long solos. So there are 4 or 5 short solos in the song, and you never know where they're going to come, so it's a surprise. And I did a modulation down a half step from the key of C to the key of B where Jill came in. She's so talented and has perfect pitch, so she can do that. She nailed it right on.
How tricky, Jill, was it to sing this song in this way? I mean, did you find that it could naturally be sung this way, or in a sense, did it take some work for you to, in a sense, jettison the way it's always done and always played? To sing it in this new way. I mean, how
perceptive
hard is it?
Perceptive comment. That was very, very difficult because I've had this ingrained in me. We all know it's easier to learn something than to unlearn something. And so I had to tone down the perky, and I had to get in the mood, and I had to method act what this would be. And I actually then, too, to make the lyrics flow better, I had to excise a lot of words. I had to get rid of a lot of fluff that was unnecessary and just let it be as smooth as the music that was there. So on the whole CD, many things happened. It wasn't always that Jack created a track first. Sometimes I created a track first. Sometimes we worked on it together. Many times we threw out songs. We threw out music. We threw out material. We threw out things. But this is one that in particular he began by saying, I have a concept for this. I want you to try it. And so that was the result. And yes, it was not easy for me.
Did he literally lay down then the instrumental behind you and then you sang on top of it?
Yes, I created the whole thing. And it took me about 2 months for this 4 minutes of music to get something I was happy with and play it over and over and over again and change it and change it and change it until I got something where I felt it didn't need to be changed and it could stand up to repeated listenings and still be interesting after you heard it 10 times.
Right.
Jack plays all of the instruments on this album, So every single sound you hear other than me is something that Jack has done, produced.
Right, so laid down line after line after line.
Right, layer after layer after layer of instruments.
Yeah, I have to say that one of the things that impressed me the most is that about your album Snow People is that we are inundated by, you know, when, every time we walk into a store and we hear over the speaker something playing, and it'll be, you know, jingle bells, and someone's just taken Jingle Bells and just given it a little bit of swing. And you know that it took them 10 minutes to, I mean, there's no concept, there's nothing particularly interesting, they just swung Jingle Bells and just, it's just kind of maddening to think about all of the people who are churning out these arrangements that are all the same, pretty much, all the same. And I am so impressed that you took the time to really create something interesting with Sleigh Ride. And the whole album is interesting, but most of the rest of this album is entirely new. I mean, songs I have never heard anywhere.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. That was the idea. People hear Christmas songs when they go to Home Depot. The whole time they're in there, one right after another. And Andy Williams doing, "It's the most wonderful time of the year. I don't need to hear that anymore. I've heard it 8 million times." If there had to be a reason to do an album of these songs, and this isn't necessarily a Christmas album, it's a winter album.
Right.
A winter album.
It we does all have experience Christmas
on. We yeah. all experience winter. So there are 8 or 9 winter songs, and there are 4 Christmas songs.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's a great mix.
And there has to be a reason to do any piece of art. Does it need to be done? Has it been done before? So this had to answer my criteria of those two questions.
Right. Saying something new and fresh and
yes,
interesting.
Right.
There's a really lovely, fun photograph on the cover of the album, and there's a great story behind it. Why don't you share that?
Well, I think people from the Midwest understand the term packy. Not everyone in the world will, but that is a particular kind of snow. And that happens when the climate conditions are such that as you walk, maybe you kick up a little piece of snow, and as it rolls, it turns into a snowball. And that's what children wait for so that they can create a snowman. Jack and I happen to live near a bicycle trail, and we walk on it regularly, any kind of weather. While walking one day in the winter, after a pretty fresh snow, we realized that the snow was packy. So spontaneously, we went into a little clearing, because it's a wooded bike trail, and started to make snowballs, bigger, bigger, bigger. Pretty soon they evolved into snow people. He made a man, I made a woman. We took all sorts of cute materials and found in the woods and stuck them on there, and they were so cute. Well, then as the sun was setting, we thought, oh man, these are great. We love our snow people. It was a wonderful afternoon. Soon there's going to be kids coming by, and they'll knock them down. He ran to get a neighbor a camera, and the neighbor came back before it got too dark, and he took a bunch of pictures of us with our snow people just for fun. Well, every day we would go back and check on the snow people to see how they were doing, what had happened. And every day they were still there, and they were smiling, and we would make these repairs. Well, as the winter wore on and the days got warmer, we were thrilled to go there to try and repair our snow people and find that other people had repaired them. Mm. So while the whole fields and the woods around may have been devoid of snow, our snow people had it all. People were packing it all on there to keep them alive for the whole winter. And a cute little sideline is we still go on the bike trail, of course, but in that little clearing, just for fun, there are 2 little saplings that are growing, 2 trees that are growing in the spot where we had our snow people.
Wow.
Here's Jack.
I forgot to tell you, Jill, that I was there 2 days ago, and those 2 little saplings now have 6 branches, and they're as tall as I am, standing right where those snow people were.
Well, it's just a fun thing. And whenever anybody comes over, we have that picture on a wall, and they say, "What is the story with that? It's so cute."
Right. And I mean, the 2 snow people are very, very nicely done. I mean, they're practically works of art in and of themselves, and the story behind.
That was a really fun day.
Yeah.
Well, and you say something in the liner notes about how when you look at that picture, it's like it takes you back to that day and to the great fun that you were
having. Oh, and we had
having.
Great combat with that picture. So the woman who helps us with our art all the time said, oh, it's a grainy old picture. And people who do magazine stories on us and say, oh, it's such a grainy picture. Do you have a nice high fidelity one? I said, no, it is a photograph taken with a quick camera. It is what it is. It was a couple years ago. It was spontaneous. And if it's grainy, so be it.
Right.
This is not a slick, glossy
thing. Yeah, yeah.
So we needed to make a CD to go with that picture.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we're all glad that you did. It's time for us to listen to something else on this CD. And maybe it would be interesting for us to listen to one of these songs that will be, I'm pretty sure, brand new to everybody, or at least was brand new to me. Maybe we should play the first track on the disc, which is called Winter Night. what can you tell us about this song, where it comes from or who wrote it?
Oh, boy. We are big fans of so many people who were tremendous singers, and that includes Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet. Mm. And the search for winter songs that weren't corny and that had, you know, some appeal to us both verbally and musically was not easy.
Hmm.
And so we've pored over this for about 7 months, maybe longer, to compile a list to try. And this is a song that Edie Gourmet had recorded many, many, many years ago. And it's got a wonderful swing version to it. And we just thought that it was a warm way to begin an album.
I love the way that this opens things up. So here it is, the opening track of Snow People, a song called Winter Night.
The snow came down, covered all the town that winter night. The wind was cold, yet our hearts were bold that winter night. While walking home, our noses turned from red to blue. So who could blame me if for warmth I clung to you? We kissed alone, frozen to the bone, that winter night. But when your lips met mine for the very first time, they tasted right. Deep in the drifting snow, I felt your glow, melting all my lonely fears, as we fell in love on the best winter night in years. as cold, hearts were bold that winter night. Deep in the drifting snow, I felt your glow, melting all my fears as we fell in love on that winter night. I loved the way you held me tight. We fell in love on the best winter night.
Such fun. The song is Winter Night. It opens this album called Snow People by Jill Jensen and Jack Grassel. And you're listening to The Morning Show on WGTD. So we are with Jack and Jill today to talk about this new album. And we're going to spend just a little bit of time talking about their life together as musicians and also some of the intriguing things that they do as performers, including all kinds of home concerts that are coming up in early December, as well as some public appearances that you can take in. When you were here before on the morning show, I know we told at least some of this story, but for the sake of anybody who didn't hear that conversation, would be good to hear at least a brief version of how the two of you met and how the two of you began making music together.
Well, I was giving guitar lessons to Jerry Tarwood.
And when was this?
Gee, this must be 25 years ago, 30 years ago.
And where was this?
88, 89?
Yeah, in the Milwaukee Area Technical College. Mm-hmm. And I was playing at the Yardarm in Racine. I was living in Milwaukee. And Jerry was dating Jill. And he says, Jill, I want to take you to see my guitar teacher. He's playing at the Yardarm. So here comes Jill. And I had been seeing her on television doing those Schaefer Pontiac commercials for about 10 years, thinking, she is so pretty, and I love her voice, and I fell in love with her watching her on television.
Huh.
And I didn't know who she was. I eventually found out her name was Jill, because Jerry said he was dating this woman named Jill. And I thought, wow, I should be with a woman named Jill, because I'm Jack. So I was playing at the Yardarm, and here comes Jerry with this woman I'd been looking at on television for 10 years.
So you recognized her right away.
Oh, yes. And my heart just jumped, and I got goosebumps, and I put my guitar down in the middle of a song, walked over to the table, and I said, hi, Jill, I'm Jack. Let's go find a hill. And she stood up and hugged me, and we were married 6 months later.
Wow. So a little detour in the dating that was going on at the time. Wow.
And then I moved to Racine, and we bought a house in Racine.
And on a hill.
It's just been wonderful.
Wow. So when you first met and began dating and then got married, were you already thinking that there would be some kind of serious musical collaboration going on? I mean, was that...
Totally not. I was very aware of him and his incredible, intimidating musical background. And yes, I had always sung and I had been in bands and done things, but nothing to that level. Fortunate that people always asked me to do something with them to be their singer. And so when we got together, we just liked each other and I didn't want him to hear me. Because I always thought, oh, no, he'll have to say something nice or he'll feel compelled to, and I didn't want to put him there. But then I was in rehearsals for things and shows and plays, and he knew I was going off to do that, and he came to one of my shows and thought it was good. I could tell he really did. He wasn't kidding. And then he was teaching at an international guitar workshop out in Connecticut. I went along. And to occupy my time, I took a jazz voice class at the guitar workshop with a little girl who was 14. And so at the end, she and I had to give a recital.
Yeah.
So I asked Jack if he would help us. And so she and I gave the recital. But in the meantime, working on it, he and I started noodling around doing some music too. And we were friends with so many of the students and the instructors there. They kept encouraging us. So at the departing concert that they had for everyone, they hauled us up on stage and we did a couple numbers and looked at each other and said, we could do this.
Wow.
This is good.
And the thing I immediately noticed, I mean, this was way into my career. I've been a musician for a long time. And this was the first time I had ever made music with someone I was in love with.
Hmm.
And as you know, it colors the music a little bit. And I try to play well no matter who I play with. Even when I play by myself, I try to play as well as I can. But there's an extra special sheen that goes on the music when the music is made by two people that are in love. That's all. I don't know how to explain it, but this thing happens.
Hmm.
One of the world's great jazz historians and writers is a man named Scott Yano. And he wrote about us once, and he called it like a loving extrasensory perception for the improvisation that we do.
Hmm.
He said they have this marvelous intuition that comes through that can only happen, I guess, if it's someone that you're with 24/7, you know, doing everything together. It's almost anticipatory.
Wow. Yeah.
So,
we're together 24 hours a day. And when we play a three-hour gig, that's only a little glimpse into our lives.
Right. So was it right from the start a smooth, easy melding, or were
of
there
music?
Any right, or were there growing pains in terms of you working together as musicians? Or I mean, it what you're describing sounds pretty effortless and very natural. And was it like that right from the start?
That's very perceptive of you. I think there were some bumps in the road. One is, what would be the musical setting for Jill's voice? Would we have a band? And we wound up having different sidemen, different bass players. We even had a band one time with a horn section, with three horns.
Hmm.
We even went on tour with
Western Illinois University Big Band
on a big bus. Touring for a while where we had a big band, and eventually we pared it down, and now we're a duo. But this also has to do with some advancements in the world of music and electronics. Now there's a thing called a looper where I can instantly record what I play and play it back instantly with the stepping on a button. And I also invented a triple neck instrument with a mandolin, guitar, and bass all on the same instrument.
Hmm.
So while Jill sings the first chorus, I can accompany her with a bass and record the bass at the same time. When she sings the second chorus, I step on a button, the bass comes back, I add guitar. And then when she's done singing the melody of the song, I can step on the button and it plays bass and guitar back, and I can solo on it with a melodica or a mandolin or the guitar. And now it sounds like a real big band, and I have control of everything. So if I'm the bass player, I can remember what I played and play the appropriate chord substitutions and alterations to go with the bass lines I played. When I'm playing with another human being who's a bass player, that doesn't always happen.
Right,
but since I'm the bass player and the guitar player and the mandolin and the melodica player and often the singer, all this music connects. The substitutions, all the alterations match.
Right. And it's interesting, Jack, how you're describing all this in rather matter-of-fact language, like it's not a big deal.
Well, it is a big deal.
You're just not making it sound like a big deal in some ways. I mean, you're just describing it as a somewhat unremarkable thing that you do that actually is quite remarkable.
Right now, this is 6 years after I went down this path. And there were a lot of mistakes I made to put this all together. I didn't sound good, and I made a lot of mistakes for like the first 3 years.
Ah.
It took me that long to get this triple neck instrument together and the electronic thing together.
Well, his feet are doing one thing, his hands doing another. They're nimbly dashing about these three necks on this instrument.
Right.
It's visually so exciting. And not everybody, that's too general. So many people think that what he's doing is pre-recorded. They don't realize that he's recording it, but he's recording it as he improvises on the spot.
Right.
And then he'll improvise another layer on the spot.
So it's not that he's walked in the door with something that's already there.
Oh, no.
I mean, it all exists right now in this moment uniquely.
At the end of the song, he presses a button, and it's gone forever and ever. This now has created a win-win for so many reasons, venues that are smaller that want music and can't have a band
right.
to now have us take up a small space and get a lot of sound that sounds like a big band. So that helps us get hired.
Sure.
And we like it because we don't have to worry about gathering people and their schedule and rehearsing. We can
right.
just do what we do.
Absolutely.
It really has.
Yeah.
You know, by distilling it down to just the two of us has made it such a great experience.
And I'm sure you're right that, if, for instance, in a venue like the Yardarm that mm-hmm. has live music but does not have ample space for all kinds of musicians. I mean, you can get three or four in if you kind of scrunch
sure,
in. But I
sure.
mean, in a sense, that's a perfect place for a musician or a couple of musicians to be in the corner doing what they do. It's perfect.
Well, this thing we do with the looping technology, while it's relatively new in the United States, when we were in Mexico 6 years ago, it was a normal thing with all the musicians down there. Everybody did it, and I was the only guy that did not.
Hmm.
And I learned from these masters
wow.
in Mexico how to do this.
Huh.
And then when I got back to the United States, I went down that path, and it took a lot of practice.
Right. Well, the next time people see you performing live and doing this, as Jill was saying, maybe they'll have a better understanding of exactly what's going on. For those of you just joining us, we have Jill Jensen and Jack Gressel in the studios, and primarily talking about their newest recording, which is called Snow People, Winter Music with Jack and Jill. I want to be sure to play for our listeners today an entirely original song that's on this lovely album called Snow Sprite. And it is something that the two of you had a hand in creating, and a very special, gifted woman is responsible for the lyrics. I wonder if you would tell our listeners about who contributed to this fun song called Snow Sprite.
I met a wonderful lady, oh gosh, way back in maybe 89, something like that, at Theater Guild. We were cast in a play together. Come back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean. Her name is Leslie Sabota. Leslie Sabota was a little elf of a woman who was an elementary school teacher, wonderful wife and mother to children, and she had a love of life. I became friends with her and remained friends for a very long time, and her whole family. When she started falling, they had her tested and found out that she had ALS. She had Lou Gehrig's disease, and she became more and more paralyzed. I was a hairdresser in a past life, and I would help cut her hair at her house. So her wonderful husband, Drew, would hold her head up in the kitchen, and she'd be sitting in her wheelchair, getting a little trim, looking out at the snow in their backyard. And when Jack and I were... She just passed away this past February. So Jack and I went to her memorial service, which was also at Racine Theater Guild, and they handed out a card with her photo on it, and on the back was this poem. And we were very taken with the poem, and they said, as far as they knew, that Leslie had written this. This was in her hand. This was among her things. And they thought that it was something that would be like her personality. So we agreed with that. We thought it was charming. We went to Drew Sabota. We said, may we use Leslie's poem? We want to try and turn it into a song. This is one of those songs that we both did several attempts on it. And then finally, one day I said, can I just have a stab at this? She was so close to me. So I went to the microphone and I just kind of channeled Leslie's mind and what she would be doing if she was looking out that window. And so I just did an a cappella. A note came into my head. I think it was this key of A. And I just kept it going throughout the whole song. And he said, just leave enough space for me to do some fill in between phrases. Okay. So that's what I did. I just recorded it a cappella. And he said, that'll be fine. Let me see what I can do. And then he put together all the background on it and all the magic sparkle noises that we found and did. And so it's our very short, sweet labor of love to my dear friend Leslie Sabota.
Wow. Let's hear it. This song again is called Snow Sprite.
Ooh, snow. like to be in the garden today. But I would like to be a fairy or a snow sprite. So that I could fly and not mess up the snow. Maybe I would fly over and ride a snowflake to the ground. Then fly up and catch another to in the garden. And it would make me feel so peaceful and relaxed to be
That was the original song, Snow Sprite. The melody, Jill Jensen, the background, Jack Gressel, and the words by Leslie Sobota, whom many people, particularly in Racine, fondly remember. What a special part of this wonderful album. Again, we're here to talk about the album Snow People, Winter Music by Jack and Jill, Jack Gressel and Jill Jensen. I know that one of the things that is kind of on your docket as very busy performers is a series of home concerts that you deliver. And I think some people are acquainted with this. I have a sister, actually, who hosts home concerts all the time, and she happens to live in a community where this is really important and a real sort of special part of the landscape. But I think there are lots and lots of people who have no idea what we're even talking about and who have never ever been to a home concert. Maybe they hear the words and, you know, can maybe formulate sort of what this is about. But I think it's really important for us to take a couple minutes to talk about the home concerts of Jack and Jill. So first of all, when did you start doing them, and what happens at your home concerts?
We started 3 years ago. We had been to some home concerts in Milwaukee, which means that someone opens up their home, and it's by invitation or reservation. So, and there's usually a cover charge to cover the expense of hiring the musicians. And the reason people do this is because if you've been to a bar to listen to music,
even a fine restaurant.
There are 14 televisions on, each with a different sports game. People's cell phones are going off playing melodies while you're trying to listen to music. The waitress is coming over. It's really difficult to listen to music. And in a bar, half the people are not there to really listen to the music. They're there to socialize, which is one of the functions of a bar, and that's wonderful. And I love playing in bars because I can play a more aggressive kind of music. However, sometimes I like to talk about the music to the audience who's listening to me, and I'm able to play with more dynamics in a more musical manner when it's a concert situation. So when we do a home concert, everybody who is there wants to be there, and they're not interrupted. They're sitting on our couch in our beautiful living room, and we do this every winter, and we can have 26 people come to our house, and we have someone meet them at the door, and our equipment is set up already, so I don't have to carry equipment, set it up before the gig. I just come downstairs and play to people that are in my living room. And I play my best in my house, in my own living room, without having had to drive 2 hours and then set up equipment for an hour and then deal with televisions with basketball games on while I'm trying to play music. So that's why we do this. And the people who come to these concerts rave about it and say it's just wonderful because they can pay total attention to the music. And it's not loud. It's at a nice, comfortable level.
Right.
It's a very intimate, festive, sweet thing that happens. We ask that people come early. They can fill up their plates. I fill up the dining room with all sorts of snacks and home-baked cookies and dips and everything. So there's all sorts of food. We provide teas, hot cider, coffee, wine, beer. You know, it's festive. We ask people to choose their seat, and so they have a chance to mingle. How do you know Jack and Jill? Where did you come from? Yada-da-da-da. So it's very, very nice. And then we have an intermission. They can fill up their plates some more, and it's very, very friendly. So we enjoy it. And that is actually the catalyst for this CD. People would say, oh, I love this. Do you have an album of this? Can I buy this? My sister in California. So, okay, fine. That was the impetus. I said, Jack, you know, we've had so many people say this. Maybe it's time. But we said, not like you said, not the same Christmas music over and over and over again. What can we do that might be a little different?
Right.
Quite hasn't been done.
Yeah. So how many people are typically at one of these home concerts? I mean, when you say intimate, how intimate are we talking?
I think we average about 22 people.
Okay. And so that means you probably set up chairs.
I mean,
it's not just people sitting on your couch, but I mean,
I bought chairs enough to accommodate all these people.
Comfortably.
Yeah.
So the living room is full.
Yeah.
And we stand in front of the fireplace,
and
the place is uber decorated, and it's very nice.
Fantastic.
We live in an historic home that was built by Dr. Lifschutz, and it was made for entertaining. So the house is
nice
perfect
floor
for that.
There you go. Sounds lovely. So again, these home concerts are going to be happening early in December, and you have other performances that are going to be coming up in places like the Jazz Gallery in Milwaukee, the Yardarm in Racine in the middle of December. Towards the end of the month, you'll be in Thienesville at a place called the Chiel.
Yes.
And so you are all over the place, and it looks like people can go to your website, jackandjilljazz.com.
Correct.
And find all of this information on these performances.
I'd like to add that we're also doing several private parties, and we do have some room if anybody else wants to have us at their private party or corporate event.
Very good.
And I've also been Skyping this concert. I set up a camera, and last year we Skyped it to Scotland. And so you can have the concert, you can purchase the concert, and we can Skype it to your home, wherever you happen to live. Except in Mexico, Skype doesn't go to Mexico very well.
Interesting. So we encourage people to head to your website again, jackandjilljazz.com. I can give your email address as well, if you like. That's in the press release?
It's on our website.
Okay.
And to purchase the CD, there's a shopping cart on my website, jackgrossel.com. They can purchase it there. It'll arrive in the mail 2 days later.
Wow.
It's also at Schmidt Music in Racine. It's at Lincoln Music in Milwaukee.
Very good.
And at our performances.
And the album, again, is called Snow People, Winter Music by Jack and Jill. We're going to finish out with something titled California Dreamin'. And Jill Jensen and Jack Russell, it's been absolutely fantastic to have you here on The Morning Show. Thank you so much. And
good to be here,
very best
Greg.
Wishes for you.
Thank you.
Here we go with California Dreaming to finish out today's morning show.
the leaves are brown and the sky is gray. I've been for a walk on a winter's day. I'd be safe and warm if I was in LA. California dreaming on such a winter's day.
My thanks once again to Jack Grassel and Jill Jensen for being a part of today's morning show and for sharing some excerpts from their wonderful new holiday album called Snow People, Winter Music with Jack and Jill. The time is 8:57 here on WGTD. Monday on the morning show, I will be sharing a brand new interview with a talented Swedish director and writer by the name of Martin Österdahl, who has written his first novel, and it is a thriller called Ask No Mercy. Martin Österdahl did some of his schooling in Russia, and so this is a thriller which is set in both Sweden and Russia and is based in part on the world of sort of Russian espionage, a wonderfully written book. Also on Monday, we'll play in anticipation of the Thanksgiving holiday a portion of my interview with Diana Butler Bass, the author of Grateful, The Transformative Power of Giving Thanks. On Tuesday, a look back on a very dark moment in American history. Justin Martin's book is A Fierce Glory, Antietam, The Desperate Battle That Saved Lincoln and Doomed Slavery. And on Wednesday's morning show, Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, pays his monthly visit to the program, and he and several guests will be talking about the Gateway Foundation. And, of course, because of the Thanksgiving holiday, we won't have a program on both Thursday and Friday. We certainly wish you and your loved ones a safe and very, very happy Thanksgiving holiday. 2 minutes before 9 o'clock here on WGTD. Support for WGTD comes from Jack and Drea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, newly reimagined for 2018, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. More information available at jackanddrea.com. Jack and Drea, a proud supporter of WGTD's morning show. Support for the morning show also comes from Carthage College, welcoming approximately 150 full-time transfer students each year. Eligible Gateway graduates can receive guaranteed admission to Carthage to complete their bachelor's degrees. Transfer to a more personalized education in 4 easy steps. More information about admissions and competitive scholarships for transfers available at carthage.edu/admissions/transfer. From WGTD's Arts and Other Events calendar, the one-man show of Stephen Wolford called Cry Havoc is being performed tonight on the main stage of the Reed at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. Based on Stephen Wolford's real-life experiences in the military and in particular how he has contended with post-traumatic stress disorder, Stephen Wolford works extensively with veterans doing the work of Shakespeare. That's tonight at 7 o'clock on the main stage of Reed, Cry Havoc. And tomorrow afternoon at Carthage in the Recital Hall, 3 o'clock, Carthage's Opera Workshop presenting To Schubert, a theatrical recreation of a Schubertiade, a gathering of Schubert's friends, admirers, and collaborators to celebrate his great music. There will be food and drink.